Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Blue Microphones. They look great, they sound even better, and you know me.
Slow down, Andy. Don't you hurt yourself. Or you'll go to the glue factory. Slow down, Andy.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, what was that noise?
Sorry. Something was happening.
I was going to say something, and then I didn't.
Okay, that's fine. Well, it's your buddy Andy, America's little brother. As always, joined by that guy who almost said something but didn't.
Do that the whole episode.
Polka dancing his way across the podcast studio. Look at him go. Kicking up debris. Rugs, shoes.
Making a mess.
Nick Pollock in the house. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks. How's it going?
Oh, man. It's going all right.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank you for asking.
You know, before you introduce me, I just, whenever I hear your theme music, I feel compelled to Google Slow Down Andy and then hit the news tab. There's some Slow Down Andy news.
Oh, good. Okay. What's going on with our favorite racehorse, Slow Down
Andy?
Well,
the headline says Redhams, which I assume is the last name of his owner, Redhams selling some of their horses, but not Slow Down Andy.
Damn it.
He's got a future.
Say, maybe we could all go in with the Pot of Thunder listeners and buy Slow Down Andy.
Yeah. We'll keep tabs on it, but let me just read a couple bits here. Paul and Zilla Redham, among the most prominent owners and breeders in California. So,
Slow down, Andy, horses are leaving. Yeah.
Well, no, they're not going anywhere. That's the point of this.
Nick is one of the most prominent breeders in Indiana.
That's true. Speaking of it, I'm getting totally detracted, but speaking of breeders, the voice of the intro became a father this week, right?
Yeah, that's right. Michael Cavaccini. Congratulations.
Quincy Cavaccini, I believe. Or was that the name?
Oliver.
Or Oliver, or whatever. It was some. I knew it was something of that ilk. Yeah. So how many kids does that make for Dionne Warwick?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up. Anyway, congrats, Cavaccini and Dionne.
Yes.
next child should be named Quincy. Yeah. You could throw
and
that
it'll
out
yell
there.
At everybody.
Yeah, exactly. caressing bikini-clad women on the beaches of wherever he's at at any given
pointing
time.
And yelling.
Yes, but... Okay, so the Redhams plan to significantly reduce their racing stable with a sale of more than 35 runners later this month in Pomona, California. One horse that will not be offered is Slow Down Andy. Mm. Listen to this. The upset winner of the Grade 2 Del Mar Derby in his turf debut on Saturday.
Whoa.
Which was a week ago.
He's back.
Yeah.
He's back under the saddle.
That's good. Well, I'm glad he's back.
Hope he goes for sale. Is there a way to like notify me when this horse is available for sale? Get an email like when there's some jeans that are out of stock.
He's a winner. Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
No, yeah, and apparently he raked in $302,000 for that.
Yeah, they're not selling him.
No. He's entrenched in that stable.
Damn it. Well, that's too bad. Well, we're going to play your theme music anyway. Everybody wants them. We got them.
I think we need a gunslinger. Somebody tough to team this town. I think we need a gunslinger. And there'll be justice all around.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast, Medium. That is Chris L. Together, we are Pot of Thunder. Tried a new thing with a little fist motion.
I'll be ready next week.
Okay, next week. Yeah. All right. So, man, you know what month it is. It's that special time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is September.
Give a lot of credit to the brass section of the September band. But how about the guitar at the end, just coming in with a little lead, but also kind of falling apart simultaneously?
Oh yeah, it's not easily done.
No,
that's
not.
That's a session ace.
Yeah, it is.
That is.
Matching the falling apart drumming perfectly. Excellent work, yeah, whoever that
brilliantly
is.
Brilliantly executed.
Yep.
So nothing but the best on this show, especially this month.
That's right.
So what is this month about for people who this is their first episode of Pot of Thunder they're ever listening to in France, most likely? It seems.
Well, we're huge in France now, apparently. I don't know how that happened.
No, they've been completely dusted again by Australia. But for a brief period, they were on top.
Hmm. Austria doesn't care still, even though we gave them an accidental call out last week.
Did we? I don't even remember.
Yeah,
they still don't care.
They're not impressed. They're not paying attention.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, you want me to read the descriptor again?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I should have this memorized, but I don't, but I have it up here. A special month of shows devoted to songs of horniness that would undoubtedly earn the endorsement of legendary sex symbol Tom Jones.
There you have it.
All right.
And rest assured, this week, Chris is going to get us.
Oh, it's Chris's pick.
It's going to lube us up. But first.
Yes.
What's that over there? I hear foil.
Something.
Big treat. Oh. Big treat. Big treat.
Making a lot of noise on purpose.
I open up. My first impression is it almost looked like the top of an English muffin.
Mm. Okay. It's smaller than what I'm used to.
Well, it's not the first time you've said and or heard that.
Yeah. But,
it's so Tom Jones. It's from Wales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took to the internet and looked up traditional Welsh desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kept coming up, so I said, okay, I'm going to make it. And okay. They just call them Welsh cakes. On some of them, it said Welsh cookies, but I'm just going to go with Welsh cakes. That was the most common. And the dough is made like if you were making a scone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's got currants in it.
Okay.
Which I've never
tried.
That's like a berry of sorts.
It's a small raisin, basically. It's from a smaller grape than a regular raisin.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Well, yeah. I hope it's good, and I appreciate your effort, but I have to say the British, it's a tough week for them. Bad treats. Other things have happened.
No, I think other things have happened, yes.
They're like Chris has said many times, their cuisine is not what they're known for.
Well, I've had this.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it, so.
And I know Wales is not England, but you know what I mean.
The UK is not UK, known yeah. for... In the United States, the cuisine of the UK is not highly revered.
No, there's no British restaurants in any
not called for British tonight.
No. I mean, and if there are, it's fish and chips is about as...
And even that is like, you know, it's not necessarily England.
Mm-hmm.
Although occasionally... Yeah. Well, I was actually at my wife's boss's place on Sunday for a little gathering, and he made the banger style sausages.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have one. Don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like them visually. They just don't, you know.
Little fat dicks.
It's just not.
Big
visual.
Bowl of fat little dicks for everyone.
Visually, it doesn't do anything for
disgusting.
Me. Well. It sends the signal that these are going to be undercooked.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. Do you agree? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like white.
Yeah.
No, thanks. No.
Do you ever explore the?
I can't even fucking do sausages right out there.
Do you ever explore the foreign foods aisle over at Meijer?
Once in a blue moon. Yeah.
The British aisle. The British area is interesting, and I always get a laugh when the can of spotted dick is sitting
well,
there.
Well, yeah,
always
of
funny.
Of course,
yeah. Can't go wrong.
I mean, because it's a noun and also a verb, past tense verb. So there's always possibilities for comedy when you're walking.
The spotted
down
dick is like a fart. It'll always be funny. Yeah. It'll never not be funny. So Now, interesting that we're on the topic of England, because before we get into the song, there's another feature that people like, dare I say, clamor for. We know what it is. But we're not pulling songs from the listener submission list for this, although I didn't check to see if this was on it. I'll maybe check afterward, but... So we still have to have a mechanism for making this happen. Well, the day of this recording, Queen Elizabeth II passed away. She was born in 1926. So I decided to use that year for the feature. So hit it.
Abemus Papa.
Time for Pope stuff.
So can I guess who the Pope was?
I wish you
1926?
Would. 1926. If you get this right, you're amazing.
It's not Pius the 11th, is it?
Well, it is. You should have said that with more confidence, because that is the correct answer.
Okay.
So that's what I looked up. Just wanted to see what was cooking in 1926 with this guy. Interesting factoid about his relations with Mexico at the time. Shall I begin?
Yeah, certainly.
All right. During the pontificate of Pius XI, the Catholic Church was subjected to extreme persecutions in Mexico, which resulted in the death of over 5,000 priests, bishops, and followers.
Damn.
How crazy is that?
Oh.
In the state of Tabasco, not to be confused with the hot sauce.
It's probably the same thing.
Then again, when you're... when you're town is named for a hot sauce, I guess you just go about killing priests and bishops and followers, but anyway.
The Wild West.
In the state of Tabasco, the church was in effect outlawed altogether. In his encyclical Iniquis Afflictisca, I know I butchered that, from 18 November 1926, Pope Pius protested against the slaughter and persecution. The persecutions resumed. Wait. The United States intervened in 1929 and moderated an agreement. The persecutions resumed in 1931. Pius XI condemned the Mexican government again in his 1932 encyclical, Acerbe Animi. Problems continued with reduced hostilities until 1940, when in the new pontificate of Pope Pius XII, President Manuel Avila Macho Camacho, I added Macho, returned the Mexican church as the Catholic Church. So there you go.
Okay. Civil unrest.
Yeah, I mean, massacring people. It's kind of crazy.
Yes.
I've got something else, though, that I found interesting in the Wikipedia section on him titled Personality.
For Pius XI?
Yes. Where was it? Oh. Where is it?
Personality section.
Yes. You don't often see that with a pope.
No. Unless it's John Paul II, they call him a rock star.
Okay. This is a bit about Pope Pius XI that I'd kind of like to see you two incorporate into your lives. It comes toward the end of this. But Pius XI was known to have a temper at times and was someone who had a keen sense of knowledge and dignity of the office he held. He insisted that he eat alone with no one around him and would not allow his assistants or any other priests or clergy to dine with him. He would frequently meet with political figures, but would always greet them seated. Now, this is the part...
I like that.
Yeah?
I'm not going to stand up for you. I like that.
That is good.
That's... Okay, no.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember hearing story that Thomas Jefferson wouldn't dress up for people.
I love
if
it.
If they came, he'd be like in his pajamas, and he would meet these foreign whoever dignitaries.
I mean, if you're coming to me, I do whatever the fuck I want.
I'm a fan of that. And then sticking your hand out limp-wristed.
Have him kiss it.
Yep.
Okay, this is the part I'd like to see you guys incorporate into your interactions with each other moving forward. He insisted that when his brother and sister wanted to see him, they had to refer to him as Your Holiness and book an appointment.
Well,
you have a secretary, I guess.
I guess next week when I pick up Andy, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm going to be carried out on one of those, I don't even know what those things are called, where there's four people carrying you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Is there a name for that, Nick?
not that I'm familiar with, no, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, I have a clock at home.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, I got to figure out why it's not working.
Okay.
But over by the bathroom by the garage door.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed it when you've been over. There's a clock up above that little closet.
Yeah.
It's all 12 of the Piuses.
Oh, I never noticed.
Pope Piuses. I'll have to take a picture.
What kind of name is Pius? Like, could it just be a name? Or does that mean something like in holiness, church world? Or is it just a
like,
name?
Like pious, to be pious?
Yeah.
Like piety?
Yeah. Or could you just name your kid Pius?
I think, well...
Like, let's go Pius.
Well, like, I think Pio...
Kick it in the goal.
Like, was it Padre Pio? There's a movie. Shia LaBeouf. I never know how
He's
to say
it?
His name. He's the star of it.
Oh, wow.
Big thing about him converting after he played the role.
Okay.
Padre Pio. I believe that's just a version of Pius.
All right.
Someone named Pius. Well, yeah. I guess a kid named Pius is the type who would have a parent who'd be blasting the Gorillas when he comes and picks him up from school, you know what I mean?
Andy stepped into a time machine that took him back 20 years.
Yeah, that was funny.
Where someone was blasting the Gorillas by a school today.
It's just funny because anyone who's done the kid pickup at school, you know that the line doesn't move very quickly. So there's like a large percent of people just standing out there waiting for the kids to come out. And then there's the line of cars that, you know, are right outside of the school. There was someone with their windows down blasting Gorillas at an uncomfortable volume and not moving because they're just sitting, you know, they're parked.
I got picked up by a similar situation back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It was our buddy's uncle came to pick me and him up. Absolutely blasting Lowrider.
That sounds like a clear message.
Like sitting there right in front of the entrance,
the
exit entrance doors of the school.
And a bunch of babes got in his car. He had no room for you. You guys had to walk home. That was his plan.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a song of horniness, but it instills horniness in people.
There's a smoothness to it. There's some
bravado.
There's a masculinity.
Yeah.
Unquestionable masculinity in that song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not complaining about it, but...
No, it's funny, though.
It's funny.
No babes got in the car.
Well, you got in the car.
I got in the
so
car,
there was
but,
one.
The babes were looking at me.
That's right.
And as I was...
They really wanted to follow you into that car, but they didn't have...
It's a huge car, too. Plenty of room for babes.
That's how they used to make them.
None of them got in.
None of them got in, but
plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
How old, what grade were you in?
I was probably a freshman or a sophomore
at
that point.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, well.
All right, well.
What are we doing, Chris?
Well, now we're into the big part of the show. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. This has been my selection probably for close to a solid year at this point.
Wow.
And no pretenders to the throne came even remotely close.
Wow.
Now, everybody else knows what the song is. You guys don't.
Correct.
So my thing is, I think there will be three camps of people with regards to this band and song. One will be, I'm pretty sure everybody will have heard of this band, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But camp one will be, you've heard of the band, you have not heard of the song.
Okay.
Camp two will be, you've heard of the band, you've you're familiar with the song, but you've either never paid attention enough or listened closely enough to hear what I've mentioned this before, but what I believe this song contains the horniest lyrical line in the history of recording music.
I mean, that's bold.
Now, when I say that, you can tell me if you agree or not after you hear it. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I mean, you could possibly write and or deliver a lyrical line that is equally horny, but you could never do so with something that is hornier than this lyrical line. It comes virtually at the very end of the song.
Okay. So you could equal it maybe, but mostly equal or lesser. You're not surpassing it.
And then, so then camp three would be people who are familiar with the band, know the song, and when they see the title of the song, they're going to be like, okay, I know why he picked it. It's because of that line. And they picked up on it. So
I'm very intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see which camp you guys are in after the song reveal. So if you could, you know, we could talk about that immediately and then we'll just get right into it. But I will say that it occurs right at the end of the song. I used to think for the longest time that it was the last lyrical line uttered in the song, and I probably thought that because once I heard it, I was bowled over and everything else happened
afterwards.
Nothing
else mattered at
that
point.
Right, exactly. But there's some assorted vocal things that happen for the remaining 5 seconds, but for all intents and purposes, it happens at the very end, so the payoff is right at the end.
All right.
But leading up to it, it fits the theme as well, as you'll hear. But without further ado, I think it's time to get you-know-who up to the mic.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Midnight Rendezvous.
Off of
Union Jacks.
By the band
The Babies.
Ow!
I got nothing. I don't know it.
Have you heard of the band, though?
Nope.
No?
I don't think so.
I've heard of The Babies. I couldn't tell you anything by them off the top of my head.
The Babies.
Okay.
Is this a 60s band?
No. This song, this album came out 2 or 3 weeks into 1980.
Okay.
These, I would describe them as a sort of a power pop band in the vein of Stars.
Okay.
Street Heart, The Knack, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And are they still around?
No. Okay. They see, the lead singer was John Waite. You know him.
Yeah. Right?
Solo career, Bad English.
Mm-hmm.
Keyboard player, rhythm guitar was Jonathan Kane, who joined Journey a year after this album came out.
Okay.
And the bass player was Ricky Phillips, who is now in Styx.
Okay.
And then the drummer and guitar player I am not aware of.
Hmm.
Now, one thing I will say is I would recommend that we listen to the audio off of YouTube because I don't want to get all the way in and to the end and find out that fucking Apple or iTunes cut out the what many believe is to be an offensive, shocking line at the end of the song.
I didn't know those were the adjectives that were going to be
applied. Now, don't pull up the performance video because I watched that earlier and they do cut it out.
Mm.
Look for the one that's got the cover of the Babies anthology with the Converse sneakers.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the full Monty on there.
So Midnight Rendezvous.
Yes.
Love the title.
Oh, it's... This song, the band in general, a lot of great material. In fact, this the Babies anthology, the greatest hits collection,
mm-hmm.
was quite popular when I was in college because the material pleased both the rocker dudes and the chicks who were exposed to it at parties or wherever it was.
Kind of like the Cars or something?
In that vein, yes.
Okay.
You know, there was enough to make all listeners happy with what they were hearing. Okay. And just very underrated. They don't, to this day, they don't get enough play on classic rock radio, this song especially. They have a song called Head First, which is one of the first songs I ever learned on guitar, so
okay.
It has some sentimental value for me. But this one, to me, is their crowning achievement.
Wow.
And especially because it, every aspect of it fits the theme, but especially the big payoff at the end. So, and this was, I believe, their last album after Jonathan Cain left for Journey. They broke up. John Waite did the solo thing with Missing You, his big hit, and he had, what, Change was the other MTV hit he had, and then he did Bad English with Neil Schon and stuff like that, but I think this was it for the babies.
All right. Well, I've got no idea what to expect here. Maybe I'll know it when I hear it. Is it a known?
It's possible. To me, the opening guitar lick is very signature, very cool, underappreciated. Again, like the whole band, song, everything. So it's possible, but we'll see. I guess we'll find out as we get into it. Now, you've heard of the band, Nick, but
I've heard of the band. But yeah, don't know anything about them. Well, I do now after that, but couldn't say that I can associate a song with them.
Okay,
but entirely possible I've heard some material by them. Just don't know.
All right. Well, I know you really liked the Stars tune that you picked, and just like them in general. They are definitely in their wheelhouse.
And a band that you turned me on to, at least one of their songs I really like a lot, The Shoes. Is that any, like you said, power pop?
Yeah, along those lines. Okay. I'd put them in that classification. Okay. Did I turned you on to The Shoes?
Yeah, I think you like reposted a video, and I was like, oh, what is this? And I checked it out. Okay. I think we talked about it afterwards, yeah.
Yeah. I'd put them in that wheelhouse, sure.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Midnight Rendezvous.
Has a little bit of a Rebel opening,
yeah,
with that arpeggio.
Good observation.
I like it. It almost has. At first I was thinking, okay, like a little bit of CCR, but then it doesn't follow a typical like major or seventh chord, which probably would be an ECR arpeggio like opening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different. It's got a little bit of something else happening.
It's a little dirtier, more aggressive, I think, and that with that sort of the build of the drums coming in sort of sets the tone of horniness that's about to cascade over everyone with the lyrics coming in here.
I mean, that's double entendre right away, I'm thinking.
Driving faster than you want me to.
Yeah, I can't help it when I'm alone with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Double entendre in what way? You mean taken literally that they're side by side in a
car,
vehicle?
Yeah.
And then the other possibility that
he's making moves.
Mm-hmm.
With in not the smoothest of manners and hastily barely controlled fashion.
His love is much too fast paced, if you will. Something along those lines.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I the car thing definitely, is you can't go wrong. You won't go wrong perceiving that literally because of some of the other lyrics that are coming down the pike, but who doesn't love a good double entendre? interesting interpretation of what's going on. I'm all for that.
You're kind of love.
Wow.
What was that?
I mean, for a kind of love to cause someone's heart to seize up,
yeah,
that's pretty potent love, I'd say, right there.
It definitely is. I mean,
and it's not, yeah, certainly not scaring this individual away. He seems to crave it.
He's up for it.
He's a thrill seeker, apparently.
He wants to, you know, experience some numbness in one of his arms and fall to the pavement and do it over and over again with this woman.
I guess if a woman can make you feel like that.
Yeah, she's a keeper.
Really like the chorus. What is it? Really reminiscent, at least when it first kicked in. What is it? Hold on loosely. Who did hold?
Oh, 38 special.
Really reminiscent of like the pre-chorus of that song. Da da da
da da da da. Oh yeah, like, right. I hear it.
Yeah,
now.
Really,
yeah.
Really. Like that's the first thing I thought of. Really like the chorus though. I like how it was consistent in that sort of pattern.
Yeah, and I love the lyric. I want to feel me touching you.
That's, you need both hands, or
are you feeling the back of your hand as it's touching her?
I mean, that's a very specific preference that he's got.
Yeah, which would probably throw up some red flags with the woman. You're feeling your own hand as you're feeling her with the other hand.
It's like a Ouija board.
Yeah. You're like, what the hell are you doing? Pull over. Let me out of this car immediately.
Driving with your knees as both hands are on her.
Yeah, there you go. That could be possible too. But yeah, and just the groove and the tempo is just pure horniness.
Yeah,
definitely fueling that vibe that is strong in this one.
Yeah, very much enjoying it though.
Oh, this is,
melodically, this is, I'm really
this is
really
a classic song, one of the more underrated rock songs of all time, in my opinion. And they've got some other great stuff too. I would encourage anyone not familiar with them to just go straight for the anthology with the gold-covered Converse high tops on the cover. Just, lots of good stuff on there. Probably some stuff that you have heard and didn't know was by them.
Getting like a Whitesnake video visual here. But he's trying to drive and the woman's like dancing around in the passenger seat.
Well, yeah, and that kind of lends itself to the next lyric.
It
would be in that good interpretation of it, sure. Right.
That's way past your knees.
Now, when he's saying way past your knees, he's talking it toward up. the crotch area, not toward the ankle area. So let's make that clear.
Right, I was thinking the other way.
Yeah.
You would think, but when you stop and think about it, you know, more closely, he's clearly talking about his short and or hiked up dress at that point.
Yeah.
Which is similar to the Whitesnake video vibe.
You think she's in the passenger seat still as he's saying this, and that's what he's looking at?
I think so. Yeah. And she's, teasing him a little bit, playing the game, and he's trying to focus on the road and ward off a heart attack and having much luck with either.
I mean, if she knows she's going to give him a heart attack, she probably should take it easy while he's driving.
Well, and that's the thing. And like you said, this guy is a thrill seeker and craving life-threatening danger. He's like, he knows her kind of love would give him a heart attack, but he's still going to get behind the wheel and just tempt fate, if you will.
Yeah, and she's egging him on.
Yes,
I mean, it's...
Yeah, these two people are just...
This is a disaster waiting to
happen. Yes, they're coaxing each other to a horrible demise, but they'll love every minute of it. Now, how great is that? He twists, flips it around, caring not that me doesn't rhyme with rendezvous. So he says, "I want to feel you touching me.
Yeah.
We need a midnight rendezvous."
It's a nice move.
Yeah.
Plus, he's adjusting to the apparent shock and distress that she was putting out there when he said the first time he wanted to feel himself feeling her.
Exactly.
So he had to...
He realized quickly that was a bad move, and he adjusted his approach.
Yeah.
What I meant to say was...
I'm sorry. I thought that was your hand I was touching. I didn't mean to touch my own hand. Sorry.
Yeah. I'd never done that before.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, that's not my norm.
Yeah, it's dark in this car. I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. So there you go.
I really like, I don't know a lot of bands of this ilk, but I really like sonically this type of song where
I figured you would.
New wave era. The bass is just kind of one note really driving
it
the whole
time.
Yeah.
It's all you need.
I really, really enjoy that sort of thing sonically.
Yeah. And, the hand claps thrown in there. What's not to like about that? Little keyboard textures in the background.
Really good vocals, really good backing vocals.
Yeah, great. John Waite, great vocalist.
I mean,
definitely hit his stride in the 80s, and I think the success he had with his solo career, just people completely just didn't even decide to pay attention where he came from. But, and then, of course, Jonathan Cain, year later, would be the co-writer of Don't Stop Believing, and then that's the end of that.
Yeah.
But, this is one of my all-time favorites.
I really like how it's changed up a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't have, I wouldn't say it's as far as like how like the Beatles would piece songs together from incomplete stuff, but I do like how it seems to kind of, it's consistent, but we're getting something different now. And it's, how far are we into the song? I'd say probably three quarters of the way or
yeah, something. We're getting to the end.
Yeah. So it's cool that they're throwing in a little bit more, something up tempo like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit different groove, however.
Yeah. And this is the last bit of the arrangement for the song. So basically, you had two sets of lyrics, two verses, and two choruses, and that's it. They didn't overcomplicate the song by feeling the need to throw in another verse, a bridge, or anything.
Or any sort of solo, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's just simple, straight to the point, effective. Stop it, stop it. Okay, it's coming up here. I think it's right after where we stopped it, but right, it might
I'll take
be
it back a second.
No, no, you don't. You don't have. Well, okay. It's fine if you did, but
okay.
So it's gonna be the second burst of lyrics after where we stopped it. I believe that is the kicker.
Now, am I detecting that it's fading out already?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, the kicker line is during the fade out, and like I said, for the longest time I thought it was the last lyrical delivery in the song again because I was probably bowled over by it that I didn't pay any attention to anything that came after it. But after the kicker line, there's like 5 seconds, and there's some more stuff going on. But yeah, it's coming up. Well, I'm pretty sure it's the second burst of lyrical delivery after where we stopped it.
Wow.
I mean, am I wrong in saying that you could not deliver a hornier lyrical line than that?
No,
I mean,
no,
that's just right.
You couldn't.
Cutting right to it.
No, that's zombie levels of being in control of that.
This is a guy who did his best to keep his composure throughout and
he has control over himself. Yeah.
It's funny that they have this single, and then he just couldn't help it. On the fade out, he couldn't hold back anymore.
Well, the single version, there's a performance video like in the studio, which actually you might want to take a glimpse of it afterwards because you want to see what's on the drummer's kick drum head. Anyway, it's cut out of that, so yeah. I'm sure the single version they whacked.
Do you have a recollection of hearing this on the radio? Pretty commonly?
Yeah.
Did they cut that? Did they fade it out before that? Or
I'm
did
not
they leave
sure
it?
Because I can't remember.
Some songs got away with it.
Oh yeah,
like Who Are You got away with it.
Yeah, Jeremy by Pearl Jam occasionally.
Sometimes
Harmless Little Fuck. Is
Why
still,
do they do that?
I have no idea.
I can't imagine that they forgot. Is it just the DJ being cute or something?
No, it's or like it's, the Who Are You all never had it cut out that I can remember ever hearing it on the radio. And it's not like, oh, they have nobody noticed it. I mean, it's right there, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't remember about the radio, but again, in college, you'd bust this out at a party. You'd hope it subliminally, you know, did its magic on the females at the party, but I mean, again, there's no more pure expression of horniness than that. I mean, am I wrong?
No. That's it, really.
that's the common denominator right there of all
I mean, five
that's
words.
It. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, he really boiled
and
it
that,
down.
And that sort of animalistic outburst that. You know, right before any actual words came in.
Yeah, and his voice went up a pitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a complete loss of composure.
Kind of like
decorum.
Last week with the Mark Anthony song.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting a little shaky.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That's
what happens.
There's a bit of exasperation. Mm-hmm. Being thrown into a vocal performance, especially when this is the subject matter, always works.
Yeah.
Well, and we always talk about, you know, you want to get the sense that especially the vocalist is invested in the lyrics mm-hmm. and the story he's trying to tell. And I don't think there's any doubt that John Waite was consumed by something when delivering that lyric.
Yeah.
You almost wonder what the reaction is in the control room. You know, I don't know
like,
if the whole...
why'd you do that?
Either that or laughter or we'll punch over that. Or
high fives or because he did it and how awesome it is.
Or we're keeping that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're keeping that. Perfectly done. So there you go. That was the kicker that said to me this has to be in September.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, great. Like,
well, along with the rest of it, I think you guys will agree that the whole vibe and the groove and the tempo just mm-hmm. lends itself to this mindset.
And there are 12 more seconds.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's hear it again because it's such a great line. And just.
I think that's fair to.
So, especially since neither of you have ever heard it, you should really listen to it again.
They say, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like, what else do I have to say at this point? I can't put it any more plainly than that. Come on. Classic. Fucking love that. It's so great.
Well, there we have it. 1980, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, man. And like I said, pretty sure this was their last album together, and they never reunited that I know of.
One of the few bands that never got back together.
Well,
at this point,
When one of your guys goes on a journey, writes one of the biggest songs of all time, you're probably not going to, no need to go back to where you came from. And like I said, John Waite had a pretty successful solo career with some big MTV hits of the era.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time to vote. Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Who wants to vote first?
Well, I'll go first. The sweetest of surrenders.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
I mean, aside from the obvious, just the whole song just got a great groove, great guitar line to open it out. Performances are great. Like Nick said, there's a variety in the arrangement. It's a brilliant, underappreciated, underrated rock track.
Nick?
Very sweet surrender for me.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I mean, there were familiar elements within the song, but the song itself, I can't say that I'd ever heard it before mm-hmm. with certainty. Really liked it. Plan on, hitting it up on YouTube or Amazon Music or something, like if that album, that the anthology's on there, just to kind of get an overview of what they put out. Really enjoyed this one. Sonically, I think it's a really cool sounding song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mix things up musically and lyrically a little bit. So they kept everybody on their toes, kept the listeners on their toes, and I could see what Chris is talking about, where it sounds to have appeal to like sort of your macho rocker guys, but I could see it's power punk. Mm-hmm. Not power punk, power pop. So it would have appeal to women in that sense as well, I would say. So it's great crossover appeal, I would say.
And they've got a lot of some softer, closer to ballady stuff, especially on the anthology, that again, it's one of those things you throw it on and there's just all that variety and it's all good stuff.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
Well, I too will give it a sweet surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I think more and more I'm like Nick said, enjoying this sound from this time. Something I never really got into, but I do enjoy it. Am I correct that this was like the music that came out, I guess, after, like, not after Van Halen, but like the next wave of rock, like that was like, oh, that type of music is dead. Not dead, but like this is the next big thing.
Of kind of reeling it back in, maybe.
Yeah. And like, then I just feel like I've heard this story in some capacity, maybe from like a Motley Crue perspective, but then like Motley Crue went against this type of music and everyone's like, no, that's done. We're not, you know,
skinny ties.
Yeah, like that's what's going on right now, not this metal stuff again. But then Motley Crue blew up and
yeah,
this kind of went away. It was like only a couple of years, right? Like where this was really...
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think like the Pretenders were in this style of music. They sustained it throughout the 80s. And, okay. You know,
but as far as like every new band having this vibe, I guess, yeah, maybe. Queen Elizabeth just passed away, so...
Way to go, Nick.
People are thinking about... The Sex Pistols and all the controversy they stirred up with her years ago.
Yeah,
I mean that whole scene was a couple of years, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And then this kind of thing came in. Mm-hmm. So back then things seemed to change pretty rapidly. It was just like it was like everything else, like the amount of output that bands would have.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think you could maybe argue that new wave music was like it was. It aligned with punk rock in that they were rebelling against the bloated like prog rock of Yes, Genesis, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Zeppelin, you know, that just that bloated, self-indulgent stuff that felt had gone too far. Mm-hmm. But then they were also rebelling against like the anger and anarchy of punk rock, and it's like we like the aesthetic. We want to have, you know, more listener-friendly, poppier stuff.
Yeah.
So, could have been a blend of that.
That's fair. Well, look where we are.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Call Stanley needs to know if Midnight Rendezvous is a rock and roll boner classic. As voted by not one, not two, but all three rock and roll boners in the room today.
I'm thinking this probably would not have flown as a Kiss song title. I don't think any sort of foreign...
No rendezvous?
Foreign words, phrases would have made it. It just... I can't think of any.
Yeah, I mean, they're just going to say, she's so European and be done with...
Yeah, that's
you know,
all.
They're not going to... You're not going to, delve into it more specifically like the babies have in this one.
All right.
Got my vote's in.
Chris's vote is in.
My vote is also...
My vote's in.
In.
Three votes in. Nick, call it. What's the order?
Chris, me, Andy.
All right.
Okay, we're ready?
Yes.
Okay, rock.
Roll.
I'm giving it a boner.
Oh, my.
And he got it! It's a rock and roll boner. Very, very horny.
Oh yeah, and you could picture Pete Weber delivering that line with that kind of that level of
how many times
of gusto.
How many times has Pete Weber said that exact line at a bowling alley to someone
into the crowd?
Yeah,
and not just for a romantic reason to prison style intimidate and humiliate one of his detractors,
or perhaps even his opponent, just to get.
Yeah, there you go.
Just something Mike Tyson would have said in a press conference.
Yeah, exactly. Multifaceted phrase there.
That's true.
Oh, and the other thing we didn't discuss, which we've brought up in previous September episodes, I could hear Tom Jones performing this song.
Oh, that would work.
I could definitely hear it. Maybe I'm just maybe forcing it to happen, but it just seems like, you know, when he's tackling a rocker, this one would work for him.
There you go.
He doesn't necessarily have to go into the gutter at the end with that last line. He just doesn't need to go there, but the rest of it could totally work for him, I think.
All right, well, it's official. Time to rubber stamp it.
That was a good one. I like that.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Now take a quick glimpse at the performance video just so you can see what's on the kick drum head. And these are some horny individuals in this group, especially the drummer.
All right. Oh, give it a second. So the bass drum head is horny is what you're telling me.
Oh, wow. It's right there.
Look at that.
Woman bent.
Is that
over.
Roger Taylor's face? I can't tell from here. No, I always thought that was hilarious that Roger Taylor had his own
face.
Had
his
face
own
on
face
it.
On his face, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's far from a face.
the other end. Side.
Woman in extremely short shorts bent over, giving you a glimpse of what she's got going on back there. So.
And that's how the video opens, too.
Yeah, just zooming in on that. So go check it out if you're so inclined.
Wow. It's a good-looking drum kit, too. The three colors, black, white, and red stripes. And it zooms right in.
I dare.
Whoa. That's a double stack on top of.
Yeah, they've got.
Did you see that?
Speaker cabinets piled up to the ceiling in this studio.
Wow. I thought that was a ladder.
No, it's like 10 feet high.
Yeah, they've got like the typically a full stack is 2 412 cabinets. They've got 4 stacked up.
Yeah, not next to each other.
Probably approximating an erection.
That's terrifying.
It is.
Imagine being the guitar player.
And then the bass player's got two.
Ampeg 810s.
That's what that is.
On
yeah.
top of each other.
Yeah.
I would like to think they had those bungee corded together avoid a. A disaster.
There had to be something, yeah. Because you're standing right in front of those things, and they're going to be shaking a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully they did some work to...
some stabilization.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, just taking a look at this. All right. We rubber stamped it, and it's time for Nick's favorite part of the show, a commercial. Nick, did you love it?
I did, and I went over actually last week to congratulate the guy because he placed the highest bid for the sponsorship opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And I went over there, shook the guy's hand, softest hands I've ever touched,
wow.
Like pillows.
Look at that.
This guy's got pillow hands.
Pillow hands.
So if you go in there, compliment his hands.
All right, well, it's time for my favorite part of the show.
Because I'm sure he goes through a lot of trouble.
Well, probably, yeah.
To keep him that soft.
He probably does that thing where there's some kind of gloves you wear with lotion inside.
I'm thinking, yeah.
Overnight, yeah. Whole deal.
Humidifiers.
Manicures. Humidifiers. Well, intensity.
On both sides of the bed.
Yeah.
Doesn't want one soft
yeah.
hand.
Yeah, that doesn't do him any good.
No.
Oh, yards of questions.
Motherfucker, I give them.
Sing away.
Yes, chief.
Was that a pained sound, or was that adding to the crowd noise? Cheering something that you found in the yard of questions.
Oh, it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I'm reading through this to see if I approve.
Because I'm assuming a lot of these can go downhill.
Yeah.
They're good, the good, and then, oh, I can't do that. I'm assuming. I don't know. Andy doesn't show us the ones that don't make it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know what.
So.
It's like sometimes they get 2/3 of the way there, and then the wheels fall off on the last one. It happens all the time.
You're the arbiter of it.
So. Like where there won't even be a third question, and it's like, what happened here? There needs to be three.
Yeah, would you nod off or what?
Yeah, that's the most basic
yeah.
rule here. That's really the only rule for these questions. There are preferences otherwise, but mm-hmm. only one ironclad rule. This is a Yardo question. The Yardo beef was 3 pounds.
Exactly.
It wasn't 3 feet long. It was 3 pounds. Anything that's three can be considered a Yardo.
Exactly. The number is three.
I'm sorry. Although, I wonder if you'd have to have them skinny like bangers if you were going to get a three pound yet 3 foot. I don't know. It couldn't be a full summer sausage. That'd be only three pounds.
No.
If it's 3 feet.
If it's a banger, I'm not buying it. I'm not interested in that. Just visually, it looks terrible.
Andy, you had some of that Welsh cake, right? I saw you chewing on it.
I ate the whole thing.
What did you think?
It was good. It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did too. It was good.
I did. And did you guys even really notice the little raisins in it?
I did.
I barely did when I ate it. I'm like, I don't think I got any in that bite.
You might have gotten an odd one.
No, I think it's just they softened up so much that it was... You really had to try to notice them.
Mm.
I thought that was good. I'd make those again.
All right. We're going to go with this one. From a relatively new listener, as far as I know, Beverly Paget.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope I said your last name right. Beverly, hello.
Hello, Beverly. Thank you for your questions.
Beverly says, hi, guys. Love the show. So I'd ask some random stuff. To get you in touch with your feminine side.
That's exactly what we need after what we just heard.
This month lends itself to that.
Yeah, so that works.
It works, yes.
All right, guys, you're going to have to use your imagination on question one.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
This is going
to
be something.
Nobody told me I'd have to do that.
Yeah.
It's too much work.
If you were an 80s female groupie, which rock band would you love to quote-unquote party with? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean... It means what you want it to mean, but...
Well, yeah.
We know what it means.
Yes, I think we all know what it means.
You know, I'll just say... I used this band as an answer a couple of weeks ago when one of the questions had to do with being a foreigner, not U.S. citizen, living outside the U.S., perhaps European, I think,
mm-hmm.
and in the 80s and getting to see a big rock show, mm-hmm. and then I went with this band because they were huge at that point. They had really the whole package as far as 80s rock, pop, musicianship, show, looks. I'd have to go Bon Jovi, I'm thinking.
Fair.
I mean, I would imagine that was the preference of many, many females in the 80s.
Yeah, and I think that was like the next logical progression from the power pop style we heard there into the 80s. So, you know, good-looking guys, hard-edged music, but female-friendly as well. You know, like the perfect blend.
Yeah, a lot of sing-along stuff. Hold your drink up in the air at the concert and sing along kind of thing.
Mine would have... I must admit that's what I want to hear. No. I would lean dirtier than that, and I'd go for Rat, and I would have my sights set on Steven Piercy.
Look at that.
That guy, to me, embodied and still does to this day, in my opinion, the aesthetic of the Sunset Strip hair metal front man. Just had that, he had the look down pat. He was just, you know, sleazy, but a true rocker. And I don't know, just something about him especially would draw me into that scene if I was a female of that mindset.
You wouldn't be attracted to Robin Crosby, or would he be a little too tall, a little too imposing physically?
You know, I guess it would be the same preferences that I have as in my current incarnation as a straight male. I prefer brunettes over blondes.
Okay.
So that might factor into it. Wouldn't be interested in Juan Cruche. Just sounds like an asshole to me. And that's another thing, that behind the music, how they, like, the other guys in the band rip on his dance moves on stage. I feel the same way. I wouldn't be into that as a woman, but I'd be all about Stephen Piercy. Just a sleazy, decadent-looking guy. And just pure rock and roll.
Question two. Are there any female musicians that you actually like?
I'm not sure I enjoy the implication.
I know.
Makes
me feel bad.
I'm a big fan of one of my favorite vocalists, male or female, is Kay Hanley from, she used to be in Letters to Cleo. I think they still play sometimes. And she did some solo stuff as well. Oh. Fantastic writer and vocalist. Let's see here. I mean, I don't know about now. I haven't really paid attention too much, but I remember seeing Joan Jett like 20 years ago at one of the local festivals. She's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Great voice. Like, great, just a great combo, like, of doing power chord rock and having a really great voice for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, enjoy her.
Now, when we say musicians, does that necessarily mean someone who plays an instrument, or it could be a front person, or it doesn't matter?
Could be anybody. Yeah.
Someone who does music and happens to be a female.
And I'll just throw one more out there. Go old school with it. Another vocalist, but a jazz vocalist, who I really think was great, is Anita O'Day. Really great voice and some just really great style with the way that she sang. And as far as, I mean, I don't know if this question's trying to get us to sort of acknowledge more current female. I don't know. I mean, like, Nita Strauss is a great performer, great guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, she's good. Playing with Demi Lovato.
That's
now.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to say a band that our friends Kelly Lincoln and Dave Burke turned me on to would be the Donnas. I have a few of their albums, and I enjoy them.
Yeah, musically kind of an extension of the band that we heard. A lot of similarities in the...
Yeah, harder edge.
Yeah, though. but in, as far as being like a pop, rock, sort of a power pop kind of thing.
Yeah.
Rooted in that, at least.
Yeah. And in fact, in this probably surprise those two guys, but my favorite album of theirs has become Bitchin', which is definitely their poppiest stuff, I think, almost in a Def Leppard style.
Really?
But there's some great stuff on there, so big fan of them, thanks to a couple of our listeners. And I mean, that's the one that's coming to mind immediately, but yes, if the implication is that we don't like female artists on the show, that's not true. I've actually, my wife has accused us of that too, because we haven't had any, we've only had the Hailstorm songs.
Yeah.
And that's it. But
that didn't go too well.
No, and, you know, I think...
for one.
possibly unfairly on our part, but... you know,
I disagree.
We go with...
it was fair.
We go with our, you know, we spontaneous reactions is what you get on this show. And but, yeah, that's my answer. Say the Donnas.
Question three.
Ooh.
Are there any female rock vocalists that you think would give the men a run for their money? Cheers, guys. Love from the UK. Thank you, Bev. Well, Nick kind of answered that a little bit.
Because I mean, there's a perception, and it may be true to some extent, that females, well, I mean, and they have higher voices naturally, for the most part, in general terms. So there's a perception that when you hear Ann Wilson, when you hear Ann Wilson nail everything live, that must be easy for her. It probably isn't, but there's this perception that, like, okay, they kind of have an advantage if that's the style that they're singing.
Because it's higher? Is that what you
because
mean?
It's, because their voices are higher naturally.
Yeah.
So you almost... And I don't know that that's true, but there's sort of that... You get that feeling that they might... If that's the style that they're singing. If they're they're doing a Johnny Cash sort of thing, they might be at a disadvantage.
Sure.
But as far as, like... Well, I could think of one that as... gravelly a voice, I mean, as gravelly as Lemmy, I would say. Wendy O. Williams had that voice.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty incredible voice. And male or female, I don't know that anybody could really top it for that style of singing.
Chris?
What was the question again?
Female rock vocalists who could give the men a run for their money.
Oh, well, I think kudos has to be given, long overdue, to Pat Benatar. I mean, in her prime, such a tiny person too, just very powerful, and she's had that swagger in her voice, you know, before they went kind of soft, starting with the fourth album with the We Belongs and the Love is a Battlefield and all that, but although... You know, the first three albums, there's tons of potent rock on there, and just the power and the conviction of the vocals is right up there with any vocalist in rock history.
It's a good one. All right, well, thank you, Bev. And if you, the listener, want to submit your Yardo questions, go to potofthunder.com. Click that widget, submit not one, not two, but three questions.
Yard means three. Look it up.
And it can't be two questions and then the number three and then a statement.
Is that happening a lot?
Well, that was one of the ones that I saw today.
That's too bad.
I don't even feel that it was a conversation starter. Because if that would have been it, I would have allowed it, but...
Nah, it's got to be three questions.
So, yeah.
But you know what I heard?
What?
Next week is my pick.
It is.
Oh.
Who'd you hear that from?
Well, I deduced it.
Well.
And,
How are you feeling about it?
I feel good about it.
Are you going to change it?
No.
Okay.
You know what, though? That happens. February,
yeah,
and it happens where I'll have it set, and then I'm like, this would be good too.
You got it.
But I'm not going to change it. No, keeping it
for months and months.
Keeping
it.
I will say one thing about it.
Please do.
It's not a clue. No one will figure it out from this.
That's what you think.
There's an indirect, somewhat slightly distant. But indirect Kiss connection.
Oh.
Okay. Always makes things a little more interesting. That is our roots, but after all. So.
It is a connection, but not really one that people might think.
Okay.
Well, that adds some intrigue to it. I still wouldn't be surprised. It still wouldn't surprise me if one of our listeners figured it out just from that.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I don't
put anything by these people.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
I also don't turn my back on these people in a dark alley. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, that's a wide net you're casting there. So that adds some intrigue. That's cool.
I don't know what it's going to do to anybody else, but it's a song that gets me amorous. every time.
Ooh, wow.
And I listen to it almost every day.
Almost every day.
What a crazy person.
Jesus. Do you go out in public after you listen to this?
I do.
Oh, man.
Do you listen to music on your headphones when you go grocery shopping or no?
No.
Okay.
Do you?
No, I don't. But I was just wondering, because I know sometimes you stop at the grocery store.
Well, he's commented on this. He's commented frequently on the music they're playing over the PA at the grocery store. He's heard some gems there.
Yeah,
I was just thinking it could be dangerous if you're in public listening to whatever song you have chosen.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, especially like if you're listening to Midnight Rendezvous and you're singing along and you just yell out, "Oh, I really want to fuck you." It's in public. You're probably going to get arrested at that point. Yeah. So you have to be careful.
You'll
of
be
that
asked
kind
to
of
leave.
Thing.
You'll either be asked to leave or asked to go behind the deli counter.
Exactly. Into the bathroom at the bullpen luxury sports bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those all or nothing propositions. But
it is.
Yeah. You got to be careful with that one if you got the Bluetooth earbuds going and you're belting out the lyrics. You gotta watch it at the end of that one.
Yeah. All right, well, again, it is that month, and it will be again next week. It's not over yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is September!
Clues.
A little clue without saying it's a clue.